Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe. It's so good to be here with all of you. The chat is getting up, so if you were not able to get in, we've had a little bit of a late start here. I've had some major tech issues. My computer keeps freezing, and got a bit of a late start, and so the chat, I can't see you. I can't get in. So I may have to re-log in because it's frozen again. You know, haven't had tech challenges like this in a very, very, very long time. So please be patient if you're in the chat and you get booted out. It's not on purpose. Reboot, refresh first, and if necessary, then reboot, and that'll get you back into the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. I'm hoping that I can move stuff around here to see everyone. I am going to have to re-log in. Okay. Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Bear with me, everyone. This is internet radio, and we are having a challenge here. So let's see if I can make something happen by leaving some windows that are open here. Meanwhile, I hope everybody's getting settled in the chat room, also known as that Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, and that you can hear me well. And we will see what we can get going here. So this is called just live talk, live chat, seeing if the computer will unfreeze. Let's try it again. I think we may have it here. Send me your vibes. Send me your good vibes. And let's see what we can do here. I'm hoping everybody can hear me. And I hope everybody stay on the line, and I will get right back to you. Right back to you. Okay, we're going to try it this way. Since I am on air, I'm going to reboot the computer. So you guys are hearing this. I'm rebooting the computer. And keep the chat in. The chat will disappear for a little bit, but it will come right back. Those of you that are on the phone, go ahead and stay there, and we will get right to you. I'm not sure what's happening here, but I'm going with the flow because we're going to be doing readings, and we also have TJ Woodward will be coming on. And we're going to be talking about awakening, the signs and symptoms of awakening. I'm getting a lot of people. There we go. Did you hear the little smack sound? Getting a lot of people asking about awakening and the path, the signs, the symptoms. What is the path of awakening? How do we know that we are awakening and not just losing our mind? And, of course, those of you that have been following the program for a long time can definitely tell the difference between callers when I first started what the questions were about. Now people are really getting kind of deep. And, by the way, I do have my don't know about getting the chat up yet, but I'm getting it up on the computer. So I do see We've got a 310 on the line, a 512, a 323, 32. So hold on, you guys. And the thing is, please, if you would, if you're on the line, press pound 1 on your keypad, and that lets me know that you want to get on air. Okay, so if you do that, I'm going to see if the chat will open. Usually it doesn't open, but let's see if it will. I don't think it opens on my iPad, so I'm getting on my laptop as well. Those of you that I know you love the chat experience, it should be coming up soon. But until now, we'll just flow with the callers, and you can listen either by computer or phone. And if you want to listen by chat, I should have it up in a little mini here. This usually doesn't happen. My computer is very optimized for this kind of stuff. Okay. So I want to share a little bit about TJ. Some of you already know of him, TJ Woodward, who's a spiritual author, inspirational speaker, and awakenings coach. And we'll do another intro when he gets in. But we're actually going to be diving in. He's an awakenings coach. He works with people that are awakening and more from a psychological perspective, I guess I would say, and which is pretty cool. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to get the two of us together to, you know, answer some questions from an intuitive, a channeling point of view, metaphysical point of view, although I definitely did the psychological as well, but more as a transpersonal psychologist. And he does work with companies as well. And he also does have he's a founder of the spirit and spiritual director of the Awakened Living in San Francisco. And he's also the author of the book Conscious Being, Awakening to Your True Nature. And gosh, isn't that what awakening is? And this is, I think, one of the most important things, and I say one of because it's not the most important thing, but one of the most important things to remember is that you are awakening to your true nature. It's not that you're changing yourself, you know, and that's been a kind of a model that's gone out, you know, that's kind of gone out the window, thank goodness. I mean, it's been around for a while, but I think in previous years, and then there's some people that are still kind of talking about that, about all this change, how you're changing yourself. And I think it's really important that people remember that you're not really changing yourself. You're becoming more of yourself, more of your true nature, more of your true self. And one of the reasons that that's really important to understand that is that when you have that perspective that, hey, I'm not changing me, then you begin to realize, well, hey, I'm okay. I'm actually okay. You know, and even with the seemingly and sometimes, you know, false that you have, we all have, you know, the proverbial us, we, the proverbial you, is that we think that some of these faults are actually kind of cracks in the pottery, if you will. They're parts that allow our individuality to come through more, that allow our individual sense of being to come through. And so some of these things, you know, and I've been teaching this for a while, some of these things are not going to go away. Now, they might lessen, or even more importantly, with more self-love and self-acceptance, you begin to see, oh, that's just me. I'm quirky in this way or that way, you know, and that's okay. This is how I, you know, kind of see the world. Now, when we talk about things that are very alienating, you know, or non-life enhancing for ourselves, you know, on some level you could say, okay, that, you know, that needs, that's where the healing needs to be. And on another level, it can be our own individual take on things. It can be our own sense of individuation, of being a part of the all that is. So from that standpoint, it's really important that we, you know, in the new paradigm, one of the things that's so crucial is that we begin to see that much of what we experience is our individuality. How do you like that? So it's not necessarily something wrong with us, or that we're doing something wrong. It's just in, you know, many of you, I've come from also a teaching background. So, you know, it's kind of sometimes this kind of herd mentality that we have to, you know, we have to be a certain way to do well in the world or to get along, right? Which is really not, it's really not the case. It is in the old paradigm, but it didn't work anyway, right? That's the whole thing. It didn't work. It didn't work to try to get, you know, to try to force ourselves to be into this kind of square peg, you know, or in the round hole. And so many people are waking up to that saying, this isn't working anyway. This isn't going to work if I'm trying to fit into something that I'm not. And so really that path of awakening is not only healing the wounds and bringing in those disowned self, parts of the self, the parts of the self that we've pushed aside, it's really getting to know ourselves more on a deeper level and saying, hey, I am an individual aspect of the all that is. My uniqueness, my quirks are needed and necessary on the planet. That's another thing that the thing is that in order to ascend, you have to move, we all have to move out of duality. And so what that means is we have to begin to feel and see and live from the middle way, not so far to the left, so far against something, or so far for something. And how we do that, one way is to understand how we, not only how we've made mistakes, but how we've maybe been wounded and we've lived out of that wound, and how others have lived out of that wound as well, or are living out of that wound. So we get out of the idea that somebody is so wrong, right? So wrong for what they're doing, you know, in their life. So that whole idea of being this like kind of right or wrong, you're wrong for how you are, I'm wrong for doing this, is what actually blocks the ascension. It keeps us really stuck in one end of the polarity plane. And so until you do that, you're not going to be able to ascend. And ascension doesn't mean, you know, plunking up high in the sky and, you know, going up with our body or without our outer body. It really is a state of consciousness where you ascend beyond the extreme, the polarity screen. Okay, guys, the chat's open. Howdy, everybody. Okay, callers have been on the line. Tamara, I see you. That's great. It may take some people to get in. So, anyway, if you're just surfing in, the chat room is finally up. Yay! The call-in number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And press #1 on the keypad to get in queue and get your questions answered. And so we'll probably have more people listening because they couldn't get in the chat. I don't know. I was doing some video editing, and I had a lot of large files, and I've been trying to delete them. And hopefully as they delete, then it will free up the memory. So I've got, like I said, a pretty optimized computer. So anyway, so as I said earlier, we're going to have TJ Woodward come on, and we're going to be talking about the signs and symptoms of awakening, and really what is awakening, and why is the show awakenings? Why is there many awakenings? Not only because we have many awakenings in our life, and I like to look at kind of the image of the flower, you know, opening petal by petal. So different layers and levels of us, different parts of our life awaken, but also different parts of our planetary existence. So everything is having an awakening. Every species, every plant, every animal being, systems of thought, belief systems, you know, institutions, the financial sector, the political sector, there is a cry for more and more authenticity. And you see it even with our, you know, those of, you know, American politics. I think we've seen it too in other sectors, but, you know, since I'm in the States, I'll talk to it. And those of you that are my wonderful international listeners, you can perhaps see the correlation that people, right or wrong, and this is, again, one of the things I feel that's so important in the path of awakening and looking at things spiritually and metaphysically, so beyond what we can see, beyond the physical, beyond what seems to be tangible, is that even though people, like I know there's this huge disparity between people going for like a Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, you know, I'm talking presidential election, and then the other candidates, you know, Cruz, Rubio, whomever else. Christy, can't think of the late woman's name. Oh, not bad. Fiorini, I don't know, Fiorina. Is that what is coming to the forefront, whether you like the person that's representing on a personality level, look beyond the surface, that the call is, let's be less politically correct. Basically, let's be more authentic. Let's say what we really mean and say what we feel. And let's also come together as a nation. Now, and then on the other spectrum, let's take care of each other. Let's be more progressive in our thoughts and our views. And let's all move ahead together. So these are the prevailing themes that are coming through. Don't even look at the people because they're going to have their flaws and but the message, the underlying theme is reflecting that path of unity, of unification. It is part of the ascension. It's getting out of the extremes of polarity. Because when we have people saying you can't say this and this is bad and censor this, it's still in the collective consciousness, or if you want to call it collective unconsciousness, it's still in the astral plane. So it stays in the shadow material, right? So when people can speak what they really feel, speak what they really think, now, not in the way, mind you, even in a way to hurt each other, that really doesn't matter. Speaking something honestly, it's the action, what happens behind the scenes. So, you know, that's why I would say it's better to get it out. It's better to speak it rather than harbor it within, because then it gets acted out in the shadow material. So if certain people don't like certain people, that's fine. But don't, you know, attack them or harm them physically. But when people are allowed to really have their true feelings, and you see this with children, they don't hold on. Even they don't hold on to the wounding or the hurt. Or actually the feeling. There's no resistance. So as we are ascending through the awakening process, you know, we're in that harmonization. As we have more harmony for the seemingly disparate parts of ourselves, and we can have that with each other, and as we can have that, right, moving from respect and tolerance into sacredness, seeing each person's life as sacred, even if we don't agree or like it, go, wow, that's a sacred expression. That's a sacred expression. Okay, that's coming from the all that is. That's here for a reason. The more we can do that and whittle down that resistance, both inner and outer, the more the harshness of the polarity plane doesn't need to be acted out. You know, and I love this. You know, you see this with people. You see this with adults for sure. It's that whole thing, if somebody's really angry, you know, a lot of times two people want to get in defense mode, but if you just let it be, if you can let, even if their action of anger, the way they act it out is very harsh, when we don't make people wrong for what they're doing, including ourselves, when we try to find the reason why and be open to the remedy of it, to let the full circle or cycle come through, then it ceases to exist. But this clearly doesn't mean that we, like I like, not is it. We definitely do not, definitely we cannot say this isn't happening or this isn't good or I don't want to deal with this. That's not going to do it. So it's not about denial. It's not about denying the existence of things. It's about seeing where and why it fits in. I mean, I see things so much metaphysically that I, you know, a lot I actually don't take personally because I can see people acting out. I may not like it or choose to be around it as much, but it makes sense to me. And I feel the more that we're coming from that space, that of that understanding within ourselves, you know, and each other, the defenses come down, the heart opens, there's compassion. So when in your awakening process, you become more self-aware. The more self-aware you are, the more you're aware of other people's motives. I mean, I think one of the biggest things that I get in my practice a lot, actually, is people saying, why am I this way? Why do I do this? Why am I this way? And clearly when we discuss what they've gone through in their life, I turn and I go, of course you would be that way. You know, of course you would be like this. Why wouldn't you be? You know, and the person says, well, you know, is that okay? You know, is that okay? You know, is it like, it's not that it's okay or not okay. Is it life enhancing? But to understand that the reason that somebody has a certain type of behavior is because of what they've gone through. Now, that doesn't give you, you know, kind of like a hall pass forever, that I'm going to stay here. Some people do, though. That's the thing. Some people do. Some people, you know, their thing is not really to heal. And on some level, that has to be okay, they're healing through, you know, on an inner consciousness level. Because everything that we do translates externally because the collective is made up by individuals. As soon as I understood that years ago, I went, whoa, it makes sense. Because a lot of times people say, well, I'm not doing enough. I'm not marching. I'm not doing this politically. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. And I'm like, but you're doing something so important. You're working on yourself. And that's affecting those around you. That's affecting the people, you know, in your life. That's affecting you. And how you choose to live affects the collective. So we have to remember that. It's like you can't separate the two. And the more that you can see that what you do really does make a difference, that's the key. What you do really does make a difference. And when you awaken to that understanding, wow, right? It's powerful. Then, you know, your life has more meaning and purpose. You realize, oh my gosh, I am making a difference. This really does count what I'm doing kind of here. That only comes with self-awareness. It only comes with taking the time out to do the study, to do your own self-research, get to know yourself, studying spiritual principles, and beginning to see beyond the surface of what's happening, not only in your world personally. You know, we could look at even astrologically, we've had a lot of hard aspects that are really causing a lot to come up. It's an emotional, mental level. Emotional through the wounding, mentally through the beliefs that we adopt to not feel the wounding. And that's going to continue. You know, I was talking to someone the other day and they said, why is this happening? Or when is it going to get easier? And I said, well, it's not. It's not changing. It'll get easier because we will, you know, not take it as personally, and we'll look at it as, okay, we're helping each other, you know, through this. Because think about it, just even in a common sense level, is that if we are going to be together, if we are going to live together, so to speak, how can we, you know, have these things that are going on within us? You know, we can't. So the key is, unless we all adapt and we become more flexible with ourselves, we won't be able to do it with each other. And I think that is, you know, an amazing understanding to get to, that if I can't do this for myself, then I can't do that for another person. We can't do that for each other. And I think that's been missed a lot. You know, people want to help each other. People want to help other people. But here's the thing. It doesn't really count. It's all consciousness, right? And consciousness is an inside job. So it's the universe knows that you can't fool the universe. And there's that saying, you can't fool God. You can't. And ultimately, I always say, when you put your head down on the pillow, you know, the wee hours of the night, or you wake up in the wee hours of the night, you can't really fool yourself. So to all of you that think you're not doing anything, but you're really healing yourself and becoming that better version of yourself, connecting more to your soul, living more authentically, and you're working through relationship issues, you are doing a lot, because that's what gets communicated to the universe. And the more we are in the soul alignment, that's more of what counts. It's all consciousness. That's why as you become more connected to your soul and you're living through the soul self or the higher self, you're living through that spirit realm, right, where we can't see. You're living synchronistically, but you can feel it. You're living by resonance, following those openings. You have to do less. There's less effort, because you got to remember there's an aspect of you that already knows what's going on and is working within the spirit realm to make things happen. So that effort of the ego personality, you know, the little self, I would say the constructed ego, not the, you know, real ego personality, but coming just only from that, there is a lot of more struggle and strife and more fear. All right, let's get to callers before we have our guests coming on. And please also, those of you that are waiting, our guest when he comes on, TJ Woodward, will be answering questions as well. Hi, 512-497, welcome, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle, how are you? It's Juliana.
Hey, Juliana, welcome. You're great.
Thanks.
Oh, my God, the tech problems, I cannot even tell you. Oh. But I'm here. I'm here.
Better now. All right. Well, I'm actually calling to follow up on my last call. You mentioned, you know, that I should be doing, like, women's groups or something, and it kind of, like,
yeah,
it resonated with me. I had been thinking about it, and so I'm actually having my first workshop on Sunday with a friend of mine.
Wonderful.
We're hosting a workshop in Los Angeles. And so I just kind of, you know, it's my first one. I'm really excited about it. And I just wanted to see, you know, your feelings around it, if there's anything else I can do to prepare, just like how I can best, you know, make space and, like, make everyone feel, you know, like I'm connecting with them and just, you know, whatever you're getting.
Okay. Well, the first thing I heard was just be you. Just be you.
Yeah.
I think that's, and you'll learn as you go, you know, classes and stuff, you know, with group dynamics and things like that. But I think just be you, setting, and what is the group about? What is it?
It's a heart opening workshop.
Ooh, well, that's perfect for just be you. Yeah. I think as long as you have, have the focus of what it is that you want to do. I think that's, you know, and the flexibility. You know, it's funny, I mentioned that earlier with groups. I have, you know, a lot of feedback, a lot of workshops and seminars that I've done over the years, or developed courses or curriculum, whether it was metaphysical, spiritual classes, or, you know, classes in, you know, regular schools when I taught. The feedback I always got was, the material always is fresh. She's herself. And be flexible. But I think you'll be great.
Do you think I'm going to be doing more of them? Like, is this going to be a thing?
I think you're going to. You what?
Well, I'm just curious if this is like a true thing in my life, or if this is like something I'm dipping my toe in the water and just, it's, you know, kind of like a side note of my life versus, like,
I think it's something you can develop more. And here's the thing, everything is true. If you're doing it, then there's some truth to what you're doing, right? It's fitting into the big scheme of things.
Yeah, you kind
of
mentioned last time, you said, like, you know, when you do something that you're supposed to be doing, it sort of, like, aligns your
soul more, and then more things come in that are in alignment with you. So I'm just kind of curious if that's what's happening now. Like, I'm kind of like getting into
I feel you're getting more in alignment is what I would say. And okay. I feel like for you, it's interesting, the heart opening, I feel that it's you speaking your truth and what you've learned and your insights and acceptance on the path. That's a big thing right now, because we really, and you know, and there was a lot of books, you know, I go back to books, I think they're getting more real as people are getting more real, because what do people write, what they experience. But I remember being around so many spiritual teachers or, you know, well-known authors, and then, you know, doing workshops with them, or, being on a panel with them, or, you know, doing it. And they had other things going on that they weren't necessarily sharing. I don't think you have to disclose everything and say, get into trauma, but, you know, you have that for your friends or therapists. But I think just being real to say, yeah, you know what, I had trouble with that too. That's not easy for me either. Just those little things.
Right.
Just
right.
Those,
yeah.
Right. And I feel.
Because it's what I'm doing.
That's right. And, right. But I feel for you, I feel that you will not only inspire people, but really help them to see coming, like you said, the heart opening. If we don't open our heart to ourselves, how can we open it to another person? You know, if we don't set ourselves off the hook and say, right. So I do feel you have a really strong purpose in this. And this is part of what you're meant to be doing, and I think you'll do really well at it, actually.
Awesome.
But keep
cool.
us posted, will you? Keep us posted. Keep
I
us
will.
Posted. When is your first one?
Thank you. It's on February 14th on Sunday at Yoga Vista in Playa Vista, California. Yeah. So, but yeah, thank you, because I feel like
give
you planted that seed for me.
Oh, dear. I'm so happy with that. And let people know, because we have people in that area. And where is it again? Playa Vista?
Yeah, it's at Yoga Vista. It's a cacao ceremony and heart opening workshop.
Okay.
It's an hour.
And it's at Yoga Vista.
An hour again. Yes. Yes.
And what city is it in?
There are lots of Playa Vista. It's next to Marina Del Rey.
Oh, okay. All right. Local people. There's something. We got local
here,
too.
So it's going to be a love fest.
Very cool.
I think we're almost full, actually, but we'll have more, which is exciting. Anyone, if anyone's interested, there's a Instagram and Facebook account called Ignited Hearts Collective, and you can look it up and look for future events as well. We're going to be doing lots of heart-centered work. That's kind of the theme for the group.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so
much. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for letting us know. Beautiful. Oh, my God. I cannot believe how let's see. We've got 323-638. You're on Awakenings.
Oh, hey, Michelle. It's me, Angela.
Hey, Angela. Welcome to the program. Welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to give you feedback. I had called, I think a month ago, and your advice to me regarding how to handle, the information I found regarding my dad seeing someone else was spot on. I'm so glad I did not say anything, just because there's more to the side than I was seeing. Well, it kind of...
There always is.
There always is
in relationships, right?
Yeah, because the thing is, as a daughter, I had one perspective, you know, and I just was like, oh, my God. And then, but your advice was so good, because it kind of links into what I am calling about today. So I was wondering, if you think my mother has ADD, dementia, or Alzheimer's, or if it's stress from living in a house with so many people, since my sister moved back into the house a year ago, bringing with her husband, her baby, and she has another baby on the way. So, and I just start taking my mother to a therapist last month.
Good.
Oh, thanks. And I was wondering if that's helping me. Granted, she's only seen her for two sessions. So I think for me, I just don't like seeing the client because it just stresses me out. And I'm also looking for another place to live.
Good.
Pretty
That's
soon.
What
like,
I want to say.
I plan on moving out.
I would say give your mom the tools. I think your mom kind of checks out. I feel like there's a lot of people, psychobabble term, a lot of codependency. There's a lot of over managing in the house. And so, she kind of does check out. There could be a little something that I don't know if it's ADD. Is it messy? I get scattered. I get a lot of scattered and stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay.
She has, I've recently started looking for a professional organizer to help her declutter because she has a lot of papers and her bank account. She doesn't keep track of things very well, and files are all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And why is she not, why are you helping her find this? Why is she not doing it?
Because she's not going to do it herself. Like, she doesn't think, she thinks her organization system is fine, and I see that she's constantly missing bills, payments, just missing statements.
Here's
and,
the thing
like
I would do, and actually our guest, when he comes on, he'll be, he may know more from a mental health point of view where to go for, so stay on the line for that. I do really feel you need to, help put somebody in place, but you might oversee, but you really need to detach. Because I feel you're living a lot of your life through her life. And there's really no incentive for people to learn how to do something unless we at some point hold them accountable at the level they're at, but then have somebody that can help them raise that level. And I usually don't find it to be family members. I think that's a reason why you don't counsel your own family members, and unless there's an emergency, you really don't operate on your own family members. So I think part of your empowerment is to focus more on yourself, and part of her empowerment will be, you can do this. I think some of you have heard the story, I had with my years ago with one of my brothers, who was younger brother, so it's fine. I kind of mothered him, and, I was always there, and I tutored, and da-da-da-da-da. But then I realized is he would just always call to just give me the problems. And I was just listening. And I was getting drained. And then I would try to help him and try this. And he had an organizational thing, too. Oh, you can do this on the phone. And da-da-da-da. Yeah, and he had everybody ran his own business as well. And then I realized through my own counseling and training, you know what? My mentor said, therapist, put it back on him. And, here's the thing also. Why do you feel you're the only one that can grow and change and another person can't? Everybody has the same opportunity to connect to their higher self, especially if you give them the tools, set them up, and then you got to move back. And so what I started doing was when we would talk, I would just say, oh, you got that covered, or it sounds like you got a plan, or okay. And then I would start talking about me, and then one day he says, God, you're not giving me any advice. And I said, well, number one, you don't usually take it. And number two, seem like you got it covered. A wonderful relationship has blossomed where now I've been able over the years to go to him and ask him things. And he has his expertise. And, I can call him for advice. That would have never happened if I kept him in that role of he needs help. He needs help. And sometimes he does, but this time when he comes, this is an equal.
Okay.
So I would say find a way. We'll ask TJ, you can stay on the line when he comes on. We can ask him to, because I think it's a good, I call it nursing energy. If you're a healer, if you're a light worker, whatever you want to call it, starseed, we have that energy where we're in there. We're nursing, we're nursing everybody, taking care of everybody. But sometimes, unfortunately, it is to the detriment. It is to the detriment of those, not only ourselves, but those around us, because we're keeping them stuck by keeping them stuck in that view. All right?
Okay.
So hold on the line. Oh, we are. And those of you that are on the line and you have a question or a comment, please stand the line. We will be taking calls from everyone. So that number is 347-539-5122 and press #1 on the keypad. So I mentioned at the top of the program a little bit about our guests, and I want to go into a little more detail, especially for those of you now just tuning in. So we have with us today TJ Woodward, who's a spiritual author, inspirational speaker, an awakening coach, and an addiction counselor. He's helped thousands of people with his powerful teachings. He's also the founding spiritual director of Awakened Living in San Francisco, and he's also in private practice as a spiritual counselor and awakening coach. He's also the spiritual counselor and group facilitator at Foundation San Francisco Intensive Outpatient Treatment Program. Okay, and he's also the author of the book Conscious Being, Awakening to Your True Nature. I want to welcome to the program. TJ, welcome.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Such a delight to be here with you again. I loved our first show, so I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too, me too. I love it. I'm so glad that you could come back, and we, you know, have quite a few callers in queue. And I also want to remind everyone, please press pound one to get on air. We've been having some little tech challenges with the chat, so some people have kind of gotten bounced out. Let's see if we can bring them back. TJ, we'll kind of talk around where the signs, the symptoms of awakening, what's the path and process of awakening. I want to dive into that, but I also want to, if you could speak to a little bit of what, I think you were on the air, to our last caller, Angela, was talking about, which, you know, we all have stuff with our families, you know, and how to help. And I think as people are awakening more and we start feeling more empowered and we realize, hey, I'm a light worker, you know, I've studied Reiki or I've done this and I've done that, we always go kind of in the fix the family, you know. What do you say in those kind of situations? What is your thought? I don't know if you, did you hear her dilemma and her question?
Yes, I sure did, and I thought what how you responded was absolutely perfect, Michelle. I think, you know, quite often those people that are really closest to us, in particular family members, maybe are the most challenging people for us to help. So, I mean, my offering, my invitation for your caller or for anyone else who's working with this is to really bring in other professionals that can really help, even though we recognize that we're light workers and we can help a lot of people in consciousness, often with the people closest to us, we really need to get help so that they can, you know, as you said, she can get the help she needs, and then we can keep focusing on our own journey, and then, of course, how we can be of service, but we often need to bring in help for that.
Okay, that's what I thought. So why do we do that? I mean, I remember at one point, I mean, everything I studied, oh, my God, from 14 on, with my parents and my dad, my teachers used to just do this and that, and, you know, everybody was my guinea pig. It doesn't really ever seem, I've rarely seen it work, to be honest. But, yeah, we do, and I did it, too. I mean, we do it. What do you, outside help, how would they find outside help? What would be one? You would be one, actually, which would be great because, you know, you work in that mental health field as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, luckily we work, you know, now we're alive in this era of Google and Google searches. I mean, I would invite to look for certain specialties in a person's area. And then really, you know, most therapists or counselors are going to offer some sort of consultation, and I would advise maybe that, you know, maybe you could go with your family member and support that process, but ultimately the person that's needing the help needs to feel comfortable with whoever they're choosing to offer, you know, to walk this journey with, because each person, each of us is a unique expression, right? So we all have our own individual needs and wants, and I love when you're asking the question about why so many of us. I agree. When I, you know, came into spiritual teaching and these practices, I wanted to share it with everyone I knew and, of course, with my family. And I think that's an attempt to kind of go back and fix some of those things that maybe felt broken. At one point, I recognized, oh, wow, all of that healing has to happen from within me. It's not really about getting my family members, you know, fixed. Of course, at the time, I thought, you know, it needed to be fixed. I, of course, have come to recognize that no one needs fixing at all, but... And we could talk more about that as well.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree. I thought the same thing. If they were just fixed, and I even would say, if you would just do this or see it this way, but it is that call. And I did find that and even now, you know, even in other personal relationships, when I focus on me, you know, one of my teachers had said at one point, why are you so focused on them? What are you hiding from?
Yeah.
And, yeah, right? You know, it really is, I think when I account for myself, when I'm really focused on someone else, overly focused, then it's something that I'm avoiding or hiding within my own, you know, healing path. And it's usually something that I don't really want to, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, right? I don't know what it is. And I think it's, you know, that call to want to help. You know, and how can we make it more that we want to help ourselves?
Well, I think, you know, early, for most of us and most people I know, I mean, certainly was true in my own journey, early in my awakening process or on my spiritual path, or whether mm-hmm. we call it personal development, all these different words kind of speaking to the same thing, there was an external mm-hmm. focus because I believed the mm-hmm. problem was outside of me and I believed the solution was outside of me. So it made perfect sense that I wanted to focus on other people because maybe I wasn't ready or willing or able to look within at what needed to be changed internally. So that was a process for me. And one point, like you said, we have these beautiful teachers that say, you know, this really isn't about anybody else. This is about your own journey, your own path, your own awakening. And at some point, I really got that. I thought, oh, wow, I now understand what a lot of these teachers have been saying, that nothing is really happening outside of me. I'm really projecting all of it onto what I'm making everything mean. So there is that beautiful moment. Sometimes it's painful and it's beautiful when we recognize the only thing, and I mean only thing that needs to shift really is inside of me, in my own perspective, my own focusing on my own awakening, my own inner clearing, whatever words we use, because it's not really about them. It's not really about what's happening outside of me. So for me, it was a process, and then I had a few moments where I really got that at a very deep level, and that shifted everything for me.
Mm-hmm. I like what you're saying there. One thing, and you reminded me in your reply there, that one thing that's, and I still work with this, but it's more of a reality for me now, is that when I look, even if somebody seems like they're not doing as well, that they are on their perfect path. They have had, you know, especially if they've had a lot of the same exposure, you know, or the way they're doing something may not be or may not seem to me as you know, organized or efficient or sometimes conscious, you know, but it's their path, it's the way they're doing it, and that kind of, you know, and I guess it's, you know, looking at everybody individually to some degree.
Yeah, and I love what you're speaking to, because I this is one area that I get really practical, because the question I ask is it working for us to, you know, you didn't use the word judgment, but there's some sort of judgment when I'm thinking
yeah.
someone should be in a different place than they are.
Yeah.
And of course, as that's the human experience, right? My ego mind or my logical mind is filled with all kinds of ideas about right and wrong and good and bad. And that, really, we can tap into something much truer, and that is this essential self that we are. From that place, we can be compassionate for where everyone is on their path. And the reason I said we can get practical about it is because how is it working for us to try to control other people or situations? You know, that's kind of, we see that happening in the world, and I know in my own life it just doesn't really work. So this other way is actually much gentler way of being in the world with myself and with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, a gentler way, and it does come with, you know, from us, because trying to change, and it is, you know, you're right, the judgment of how something should be, and I think we're all learning to be less judgmental with ourselves. Which means being, to me, it would always translate that I'm less judgmental with someone else, because I could see, you know, I think for me too, just in noticing, and I would invite everyone, I don't know what you think about this, TJ, but I invite everyone, is what we call quirky or weird little ways, you know, is just to look at them and embrace them. I found when I started doing that, I'm now more embracing of other people's little ways that were probably sometimes counter to my little way. You know, putting dishes away in a certain way, you know, some people, you know, like my boyfriend will come over and he'll eat stuff out and he crumples the paper back. But now I look at it and I go, oh, my God, that's so cute. How cute is that? He does it the way that he does, right? I will tell you, years ago, that would have been driving me up the wall, you know. Why can't you put it in a, you know, Ziploc bag and fold it back up and da 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 da. And now I just look and I see cuteness. I see he's been there, you know.
Yeah, and that, and I love the way you're framing that, because that involves us doing our own inner work, right? Can I accept? Can mm-hmm. I be present with whatever's happening without needing to go into judgment? And I love that, because when I can do that for myself, I can do that for others. When I can do that for others, I can do that more for myself. It really is, ultimately, it's one and the same, because what we know is that we're all one anyway. And so to recognize there really isn't another person doing anything anyway. It's really all, we're all part of this one greater whole. So when I see it that mm-hmm. way, yeah, it can become quirky rather than irritating. It is a choice that we make.
Oh, believe me, it was a choice. And it did come, it didn't come until I saw, you know, some people lovingly pointed out, but that I cared about. And then I was seeing my own little weird ways of doing things, you know, and I'm like, well, folding it to the left is just as good as folding it to the right, you know. It's, you know, why are you obsessed with to the left, you know, it's like to the right. And, of course, that just frees up so much. I want to let everybody know the chat is working. It's working, and there's colors in there. And so it's open. So if you want to go in the chat, be my guest. If you want to listen, some of you are listening by computer. If you want to listen by phone, that number is 347-539-5122. Press #1 on the keypad to get in queue to get on air. And we're talking about the path of awakening right now. We're with awakening coach and author, and also a founding spiritual director of the Awakened Living in San Francisco. T.J. Woodward is online with us and willing to answer questions about the path of awakening as well. Let's get to another caller. So we've kind of got this psychic, spiritual, intuitive approach here, psychological. We've got it all covered today. So it's a great time to get some of your questions answered. And also, T.J., I want to kind of chime in on this that I think is so important. And why I'm glad we were able to do the program this way today, is that there's a saying, it's in the Hindu scripture, it might be Buddhist, I'm not sure, or both, I don't know, but the saying is study or meditation without study is folly. Study without meditation is laborious. And I always think of that with people, because a lot of times people think they don't want to do the deeper work or the inner work. They don't want to look at the psychological. You know, some people just want to stay, let me just meditate, let me just stay, I'm spirit, let me just stay spiritual. But to me, it's all spiritual.
Yeah.
And some people just say, oh, okay, you know, I'm just going to look at my belief, my thoughts. I'm not going to look at my emotional reactions, or I'm not going to integrate that spiritual aspect of myself. And I think we're, and the physical, we're a part of it. It's all us. It's all spirit in a different form, but all parts, I feel, are so valid and need to be addressed and lived through.
Well, absolutely, and I feel like that's really what's shifting right now in consciousness, is that we're recognizing that they're not two different things, right? I was involved with a spiritual community that only talked about love and light. We did not talk about anything that was difficult. If anyone had an illness or a family member that was sick, we would just say, we call it good. And there was a subtle message, or not so subtle message, that we're not going to talk about the emotional part, or we're not going to go deeper. And at Awakened Living, that's one of the things that I'm very committed to, is providing a space and a forum for people to really go deeply into what we might call more of the psychological aspect. Because if we recognize we're essentially whole and perfect, and we have a collection of stories, mm-hmm. ideas, and beliefs that prevent us from experiencing that, then the spiritual journey or the awakening journey involves unearthing that and looking at it, which means, mm-hmm. you know, that we're going to feel things in that. Because if we have lifelong strategies of being a certain way and we're asking people to do something different, there is pain involved in that. The pain is actually such a beautiful touchstone or a doorway into mm-hmm. a new way of being or growth.
Mm. I remember us talking about that last time. Yeah, I think did not, you know, of course you could fear the pain a little bit, but, you know, not get into that and not try to disown it or pretend it's not there. It's a part of the process, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I find it interesting as well that the whole, you know, psychic, psychological, it all comes from psyche, which means soul in Latin. So that study of all of that are actually parts of the soul.
Yeah, I'm with you. I see it as all spiritual. Yeah. I definitely don't see them as separate.
Yeah. And Tamara's chiming in saying, to make the pain wrong, that's just so very damaging. Yeah. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of that. But you're saying, TJ, you feel that's changing, that people are moving out of that paradigm, that thought?
I do. Yeah. When I hear the conversations, I'm hearing them moving that direction a lot more. Like right now, I'm doing a book study with the book, The Untethered Soul. He has an entire chapter mm-hmm. called Pain and the Importance of Pain as Part of the Spiritual Process. For me, I draw the distinction between pain and suffering. I have my own framework with that. Pain, you know, pain is an experience that we have in the human realm, and that it's something that's part of our experience, our spiritual experience, our physical experience. Suffering usually comes from a thought or a belief or an idea that it shouldn't be that way. You know, in the Buddhist, mm-hmm. you know, Buddhist work, it's clinging and aversion. That's suffering. I don't want
yes.
this to be happening now. And you know, if we look at a lot of the traditional Christian teachings, there's a lot about, you know, asking God to remove this pain. But now I think we're moving into a time and an era where we're recognizing that it's all part of our spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you embrace it, then you realize there's nothing wrong with you because everybody else is going through that too. Brenda Roos says, I love that book, and Michael Singer.
Yes.
Suffering comes from our thoughts and beliefs. Well said, TJ. Yeah, I agree, Tamara. That's true. Let's get, okay, callers, you have a question about awakening, about your path, about what's going on with you. We're going to get to the next caller, 469-471. Welcome to Awakening.
Hello. Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Adele.
This is Gail. Adele. A-D-E-L-L.
Adele. Adele. Oh, got you. Like this. Oh, Adele. Okay. Hello. Okay.
I knew someone would have to say it. Yes.
I had to, TJ. You're thinking it too. I had to.
I sure was. I was about to chime in with it.
I bet that was just right on time. my question is, I keep seeing 917. And it's also mm-hmm. my Earth date. And I want to know, I don't know if someone is sending me that or if it's part of the path and I just keep missing it. Sometimes a grocery bill will come up 917. A phone number will be 917. It's just everywhere, 917. Mm-hmm. The time, a phone call will come in at 917. It's everywhere.
And you want to jump in on that, TJ? You want me to start with that, or you want to?
Yeah, why don't you start with that, Michelle? I have some perspective on that, but I'd love to hear yours as well.
Okay, well, you want to go first?
Sure, I'd be delighted to. You know, it's okay. Really interesting when people are in the awakening process, we often hear this idea about seeing numbers or sequences of numbers. I think it's incredibly fascinating to me. I know I have a friend that Everything was 333, and it kept showing up for him everywhere he would turn. My experience with that is I recognize that there are messages all around us all the time, and the more we open up and the more present we are, the more we can actually tune into these messages that are all have always been there, but we're just waking up now and able to see it. I don't know if these messages come from outside, or I don't know if it's just us waking up and seeing things. I know that, like, a practical example is, like, imagine that you're shopping for a new car, and you find this kind of car that you love, and you've never even noticed it before. And once you tune into that, you start noticing all around you, you see these cars, and you're thinking, wow, these have been here all along, and I never noticed. So sometimes it's what we tune into. When we change our vibration, we start noticing things.
Well, see, what makes this one so real, because that's my birth date.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I agree with everything TJ's saying. I think that if we tune into it, and one of my metaphysical teachers said you always have to put the call out. You're putting the call out to something to receive the response. But it's always there, but in a different form, because it's your birthday, this is now having significance to you, but it's always been there. It's probably been in other forms, but this one's jumping out at you because of the significance. Okay. And for me, as a numerologist, that 917, that boils down to 17-8. And the tarot is the star card. So it's about hope. So your birthday, you know, it has a lot to do with healing and hope, optimism. So, you know, you may call in that. Maybe you're feeling a little down or you need a little hope. It's to remind you to be optimistic and see the bright side of life, that you are this sunshine, you are this bright star. So it is you already. I mean, in a way, it's you telling you this, but through this form. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad you called in. It does this make sense that maybe you've been going through something and then you see that number?
Well, the sad thing about it, it's been going on now for 2 years strong, and it's like I'm still not getting it. Oh, I'm getting it, and I'm not aware of it.
But you're getting it. Think of it. I always look at numbers or when we see signs. You know, and you could probably speak to this, TJ, as well. Yes, it's a message, but sometimes it's just to let us know, hey, you're not alone, or, hey, life is mysterious, isn't it? Because if I would be seeing this, I'd be thinking, whoa, look at the magic of life. You know, I'm getting this, you know. I mean, I went the other, it's consciousness. I remember I went the other day to get something to eat, this little, you know, taco burrito stand, and I was like, should I get rice and beans? Should I not? I mean, this is a silly little thing, example, but I didn't. I forgot about it. And then I don't know on my order, because I go there a lot, if they just gave me, I got 2 fish tacos, if they just gave me the rice and beans. They don't normally come with that. And when I got home, I looked there and I went, oh, my God, I got my rice and beans. I guess I was missing out on rice and beans.
You just
tap into the magic that you're not alone, the universe is this wonderful, magical, mystery tour, in a sense, you know. And this 917 is a vibration of optimism and hope and healing and upliftment. So it's here to give that to you energetically.
Okay.
And that's all there is to get. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah, and Adele, I would ask a question too. Like, what do you, when you see the numbers, what does it represent to you? What is your overall feeling when you experience this?
Well, when I first saw that, you know, it was like I kind of blew it off, and then I kept seeing it for that whole year, because I could drop a book and pick it up, and it landed on 917. So I used to get kind of afraid of that, like, what's going to happen on my 50th birthday, you know? And nothing happened. And then after that, when I see it now, I just go ahead and just give love. I just allow love to be one, receiving and giving, you know? It just kind of opened and closed at the same time. So I don't really feel anything about it now. But I am in the sensation of that because I try to look at it as a universal energy, not just for me, though.
Yeah, and I love that because we, you know, when we move into the mystical realm, we get to recognize that we're making it mean whatever we want. And so I love what Michelle is saying. Let's look at this as the universe just giving you an affirmation of optimism, like a reminder. And then I love that you equate it with universal love. So anytime you see that number now, it could be just sending gratitude to the love that is in the universe and recognizing that you're one with that. So we get to use these as any way that we want, and why not use them to experience more love?
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for that. What a wonderful question. Thank you.
Yes.
For bringing that. Oh, I love that, the question, because it's always what other people want to hear as well, or somehow, you know, we learn something, you know, through the dialogue. Let's get to another caller. What about 661-332? You're on air. Hello? Oh, I hear a little doggy in the background. Or a big doggy. I think big dog. 661-332, you're kidding.
Oh, man.
Hello? Pardon me? Hello?
I didn't even mean to call in. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. That's cool. You can just listen. Okay. You pressed #1. Okay, that's cool. Okay, that's funny. Sometimes, TJ, well, I'll get people that are at work or doing something. Oops, yeah, Tamara's in the chat going, oopsie.
those oopsie moments.
Yes, exactly. I called one time somebody had pressed #1 and they were at work, and they were whispering, "My boss, I couldn't hear them. I'm like, "We can barely hear you." "My boss is right here by the cubicle." And I'm like, "Boss, cubicle, I'm at work." I'm like, "Okay, sorry." Oh, gosh. Love it. I still love the story of the tech guy that listens with his hoodie. He puts his earbuds and he has his hoodie on in the cubicle while he's on the computer. And he says nobody can, you know, can tell what he's doing. And since he's doing tech work, which I thought, what does it matter? Like, if you, as long as you're, you know, you're getting your stuff done, why can't you be listening to something? But I guess not. All right, callers, that number is 347-539-5122. Press #1 on your keypad if you have a question or a comment. And we do have a lot of callers in queue, but don't have #1, so I'll just let it go for a while. Hopefully you haven't stepped away, and then I get the email, like, why didn't you pick up the phone? TJ, now it would be a good time. How did you get on this path of helping others? I want to touch on that. And then I also want to get into what you see in your practice in helping people, what that path or steps of awakening are. We always get a lot of people asking, well, how do I know I'm awakening? You know, what is this? What is awakening, and how do I know that it's happening to me? You know, or how do you know if you're awakening or not? I get that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my own path, you know, I could give you the long version, but the shorter version is I, from a very early age, felt a great sense of connection with myself and with spirit, and spirituality has always been an important part of my life. I also have had periods in my life that we could call dark nights of the soul, or periods where I shut down and closed off, and you could say unawakened, right? And that contrast is something that was so painful in my life that when I finally had this major spiritual experience that happened in India in 2006, what we might call a peak experience, I've had a few of those. This one really offered a permanent shift in the way I relate to my own ego. When that happened, I knew at that point that it was my life's work and my life's calling to be a presence for and a catalyst for assisting others in this process as well. Awakening, you know, that seems to be the word these days. You know, what does it mean to awaken? Mm-hmm. We used to the term enlightenment. Now it's awakening, and what does that mean? And to me, that simply means waking up from the dream of the ego, or waking up from believing that this earth and what we call reality is the only reality. So it's waking mm-hmm. up to remembering the truth of who and what we are, that we are essentially not only one with God or source or love, but we are that. We are one with it. So not just connected, I was going to say, or I meant to say, but mm-hmm. we are one with that source. And so how we know we're awakening is an interesting question, because there's so many phases of this. One of the things yes. that is really up for me this week in a lot of the clients I've worked with and in some of the groups I've facilitated with, people have stepped into that place where they become really disoriented because they're starting to question their ways of being or their normal patterns. That's a big part of the awakening process, is finding a way yeah. to let go and dismantle some of those. And then they experience pain and say, I must not be doing well because I'm experiencing pain. So sometimes that's the way we know we're absolutely onto our awakening process, and that is, you know, disorientation, pain. Paradoxically, those are such an important part of the awakening process. So there's a lot of different ways we can frame awakening, but when we are questioning the way we've always been in the world, and we are trying a new way of being and a new way of seeing, all of that is part of our awakening process.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love that you say that about the disorientation. And I get the same thing. If something's wrong, I don't know what to do, I'm this and that. And, you know, I always think it's like, you know, a gear shift. You're moving from first to second. You're in between. But a lot of people do think something must be wrong, or I'm not really awake, or I started awakening and now I stopped, something, you know, wrong. So that's helpful to know that that's actually part of the process. Other thing you mentioned was dark night of the soul. Now, do you feel people will continue to go through that in their awakening process, or is it pre-awakening? How do you look at that?
Well, it seems to me that the people that I know that have a profound shift into what we would call an awakened state of consciousness have gone through that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that means mm-hmm. it's necessary. I mean, I welcome the day when we come in more awakened. I mean, I think our young people now are coming in at some really high levels of consciousness. And yet, it seems that most of us have some experience of the dark night of the soul. That term yes. gets overused, I think, you know, if we're feeling sad or depressed. Mm-hmm. That's really about us having the experience of connection with our spiritual path, waking up, and then having a period where we feel like we've lost that, or we feel like we mm-hmm. can no longer access that. So it seems like that's a part of the process, at least in everyone I know so far.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And it seems along with that usually is the, you know, I don't feel connected to the people I once did, or I've lost friends, or my friends don't understand me, or I don't know if I want to stay at this job. There's a real questioning about what is fulfilled. And what I'm not sure about, I'd love to get your take on this, but usually at that point, I usually tell people don't do anything rash, because I've had people, you know, say I'm going to quit everything and go to the Himalaya. You know, they're like, woo, way over here. I didn't get along with anybody anymore. Or other people are surface. They, you know, they're not as deep as I am now, and I can't be around them, and I can't be around people at all. And what I have found, if people keep with the process of awakening and allowing it and get the spiritual tools and the support, I say you can't do it on your own. You really need to work with somebody, you know, or even in a group or something where you can, you know, reflect. It usually comes to a middle ground where they then say, thank God I didn't sell everything and, you know, go to the kibbutz, you know, whatever, Himalayas, or do, you know, or have 20 people live with me. I like community, but I don't want communal living. I find that it somehow balances out if people allow themselves to go through this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I would offer, because we do have these experiences as we awaken where the way we've always lived our life just doesn't really work. And in almost mm-hmm. everybody that I know that has gone through an awakening process, there are friendships that fall away. There are activities. There are organizations we're not going to be a part of. Maybe our religion or our spiritual community no longer works for us. And I love what you said, because this is really about creating a safe space for us to do our work, our inner awakening. And really that usually involves some kind of community or one-on-one with someone that you really trust. So it really isn't about changing the outer. So I agree. I think during the process,
if
we can't make big changes, I think that would probably be helpful. Because
so
we let it happen organically.
So what would people do? Because I know it is an uncomfortable space to be. Once you go through it a few times, then you kind of know, this is just what's happening. But the first time people go through that, it is really unsettling and frightening. What would your advice be to people? What would you say that would be helpful when you hit that part of the awakening path?
I think it's all about connection and community, because it can be so disorienting, as we already discussed, and finding a group or an individual, you know, maybe that's a spiritual counselor or maybe that's a community that really supports that, where we can really have the safe space to go through that process. I think that's really, really important, to find people, you could say like-minded people, you might say like-hearted people, or people who are in the same awakening process where we have a safe space to walk through it.
Mm-hmm. I like that, like-hearted, that's nice, plays that resonance and to be there. Tamara in the chat is saying yes to connection and community. And community, what I'm understanding you say then, is really others that are going through something similar or have, so that there's that relatability. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I think it is, because one of the things that I hear people say, many people will come to me and say, I'm afraid I'm losing my mind. And if the mood is right, I might say yes, and that's the goal, right? Because we want to move from the mind-based. It may not be the best moment. That, you know, I have to carefully say that. But sometimes we feel like we're going crazy. That seems to be a part of it. So having community of people that are walking this path, or people who have walked through it, where we can assure someone this is actually you, yes, moving from a mind-based reality into a beingness or heart-based reality, there are going to be those moments we question our sanity in a lot of ways. And so I think that's why community is so important, so that we can really be encouraged to continue our path.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say, because inevitably a lot of times people say that, well, I am going through this, but my partner is not, you know, or somebody that's close, usually some intimate other, is not going through this, and it can be challenging. They don't understand me. Do you feel it's important for an intimate or those closest to you to go through this together, you know, and if they don't want to, what do you suggest?
Well, that's one of the things about awakening. We do hear people, when it shifts, you know, they have these inner shifts, and sometimes their close friends and partnerships, sometimes those shift as well, and sometimes it is in the form of the relationship switching or changing forms. And also, you know, it can just allow, we can allow people to be where they're at. I think that at one stage of awakening, it might be really important that someone's on the path with us, and then we come to a place of more acceptance, and then it, on some level, it doesn't really matter if someone else is on the path or not, because we recognize it's really our own inner journey. So I don't know that there's one answer for that. I know that it can be, you know, obviously very sad for people if they start to go on this path and their partner doesn't. I think communication with that and bringing in someone else to assist with that could really help.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And I like what you said as well, is that it's, we need something at different times. And I definitely feel at the beginning that community, you know, community is important anyway, but I think more so at the beginning, to kind of anchor the ideas in and to help the person with what they're going through, because it is very, you know, disorientating. And then, one part, it doesn't really matter, because you do realize it's inside you no matter what. So, like you said earlier, to Adele, it's always been there. You know, and that's one of the things that I realize. It's always been there, you know, and the support is always there. But for some reason in the beginning, I think that the space is created to go deeper within, we do seem to lose people around us, you know, or we can't be in our old surroundings And then at one point, it doesn't really matter. You know, people can be doing whatever, and it's like, okay, that's the thing. That's what they're doing. That's fine, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty interesting that way. Now, your book, Conscious Being, Awakening to Your True Nature, you touch on that a little bit of what you go into in the book, which is a fabulous book, by the way.
Thank you so much. So go into which, I'm sorry.
Well,
what do you
awakening to your true nature, how are you conscious being, and you have, being in caps, what's really the emphasis in the book, and what do you go over, like conscious being, is that how to be conscious in life?
Yeah, there's a couple of, I would say, if I would talk about like the two main points in the book, the subtitle to the book, as you mentioned, is Awakening to Our True Nature. I think that is the fundamental message of the book, is that this isn't us needing to attain or reach something outside of ourselves or some place in the future, that right now we are fully awakened. Our essential self is that. In the last few thousand years, we thought it was for a few masters to live an enlightened life, and what's happening now on the planet is more and more of us are waking up to recognize that it's the truth of who we are, and this is about unlearning all those ideas, those beliefs, those teachings, so that we can return to that essential self. That's one primary focus of the book, and then the second one is that our level of conscious awareness creates what we call reality. The title of the book came from an Eckhart Tolle quote, which is conscious being leads to conscious doing, and we live in a culture that's all about doing. So the focus of my book is really about how to be present, be with ourselves, and wake up to this essential self, and from there we create our life or what we call reality based on our level of conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It moves at the universal law of conscious creation. You can't create consciously until you become conscious, you know, and conscious, as we talked about earlier, your motivations, why you're doing something, patterns of relating, you know, the shadow. I mean, if that's not delved into, we're not as conscious and we don't have that self-awareness, which I think is so important on the path as well, you know.
Yeah,
what,
we really are creating...
We are creating. Well, go ahead. You were saying we are creating.
Well, we are creating what we call reality based on our level of conscious awareness. And I'm careful when I say that, because sometimes people will hear that by saying that we're to blame for our circumstances. And I don't mean that. But what I do mean is that we can shift what we're calling life or what we're calling reality, and then it does seem to shift in the outer realm. So this is about changing the lens through which we see the world rather than looking at what we believe is real in the world, and that's the way we grow in conscious awareness and begin to have different experiences in our lives.
Mm-hmm. So in our reality, are you saying, in a sense, our perception of what we think is going to happen or is happening, is that...
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, an example of that is like if someone has an illness, we can call that horrible, or we can open up and recognize that it is, you know, it's an experience that we have in our body, and there's a something that's truer, there's a spiritual relationship we have that is beyond that. And so through that framework, what we're calling the disease and how we relate to it is completely different than when we say, oh, isn't this horrible that this is happening to me? So this really is about shifting into higher levels of consciousness.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, I so agree with that. I mean, years ago, I did a lot of channeling work with and healing. Some people, you know, remission or completely healed, but with specifically AIDS and also cancer. And what came to be seen and understood is that it's not. We have to get out of this idea that disease or illness or that a condition is punitive or something is wrong. Because sometimes it is absolutely part of the path. It's a way of learning. It's a way of expressing. You know, there's a lot of wonderful things that, you know, can come out of that. And it doesn't mean that somebody's consciousness is less than.
Exactly.
Because, right, because they go through something like this. And I like what you're saying. It's looking as with anything that we do, beyond that, to the part that is coming through that or having that experience, but beyond that. And I think that's pretty powerful. Tamara's putting in the chat, and at higher levels of energy, our language carries such important perspective shifts energetically. I agree. Language, yeah. It's changing. Do you find that too, TJ? I find the language is changing, you know, as we're sending, as, you know, we're living more awake, more conscious, that it's much less black and white. I mean, it might take a couple paragraphs to describe something, you know, rather than, you know, a couple words or a sentence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big shift. There's a section in my book called Watch Your Language, and I write about this, how words have such power and they have causative and creative energies to them. So mm-hmm. one of the things for me is I made a conscious decision to remove words from my vocabulary. And then what you're speaking to, absolutely, you know, when things aren't as what we would call black and white, you know, when we move out of a paradigm of here are the rules, follow this and you'll be okay, which is a very old paradigm, it's actually, maybe it takes more words or more nuanced language to discuss it. But language is really, really powerful. And you know, sometimes words are limited. Mm-hmm. We maybe can't even find a word to describe what we're trying to say. We do the best we can, right?
Mm-hmm. We might have time for one more caller. I don't know if this is Queen. It's a personal or a caller or unidentified 11111. So Skype caller, you're on air. Skype caller, you're on Awakening.
Hi, this is Jenna.
Oh, Jenna, hello. Welcome. Did you have a question?
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Oh, my internet dropped off. Yes, hi.
Okay. Hi. And your name's Gemma?
Jenna.
Jenna. Hi, Jenna. You're on Awakenings with Michelle Mache, and TJ Woodward is here.
Hello?
Hello. We can hear you.
Hi. Yeah, hi. So I just had a small question. There's this guy that I'm interested in, and I'm wondering if he feels anything as well.
If what?
Well, she's interested in a guy, and she's wondering if he's feeling anything as well.
Ah, okay.
I'm sure he's feeling something. What do you feel he's feeling? Because you're asking the question. So you must be getting some cues that are giving you uncertainty.
Well, I just met him a few days ago, so I'm not really sure.
Oh, okay. I always say if you met somebody that has some tingles, they have some tingles too. Wherever it goes, that's the next step. But if you're, you know, I don't know what your thought is of that, TJ.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the thing about meeting someone and all those early questions about what's happening, the great news is the way we can walk through that is by, you know, the first date is so we can have a second one, the second one so we can have a third one and be on this journey. And you know, you'll know as it evolves, you'll feel that. I say trust your intuition at every moment. Ask your higher self those questions.
Okay.
Absolutely. Keep in the moment. Keep us posted every Wednesday. Yeah, I like that. Keep in the moment and let it unfold. TJ, this has been wonderful to have you back, and great to answer questions together about the path and process of awakening.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been a delight. I love being in conversation with you. I could do this for hours.
Me too. All right. Well, you've got an open door to come back at any time. So thank you so much for being on the program, TJ.
Thank you so much, and I would love to come back. Just let me know.
Till next time. All right, that was TJ Woodward. He is the author of the book Conscious Being, Awakening to Our True Nature. And you can find out more by going to tjwoodward.com. He's got a wealth of insight and information on his website. He also has a program called Awakened Living Radio as well. Always great to connect with all of you. It's so delightful to be with you every Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. And the first half of the program, we answer calls, do readings, and just chat. And then usually the second half of the program, we have our awakened dialogue. And we did a little bit more today. Got a lot of great questions. And thank you all the callers that called in with your wonderful questions and heart opening. You've added so much to the program. And thank you, wonderful, wonderful light beings in the chat that really ground the energy. Thank you for your patience. The chat got in a little late. We had some technical difficulties, but we made it. We persevered. One more lesson in patience and just opening to the flow that is in front of you. Remember, everything is a flow. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's choppy, but it's always a flow. Well, we will be here next week. I hope all of you have a fantastic rest of your day, rest of the week, and weekend. And remember, it's Valentine's, so give yourself some extra love, some extra smoochies. Do something fun for yourself and those that you care about. Lots of love, everyone. Take good care.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.